Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and as always, I'm very glad to share this time with every one of you. Well, tonight I have a little bit of a different program. I usually interview amazing people on this program, and tonight I've decided to interview myself on the subject of self-esteem. Of course, it's not a coincidence, as I have been initiating a four-week workshop titled Build Esteem, which is starting on January 20th, and I want to take this opportunity to talk a little bit more about self-esteem and building self-esteem. The four-week program starts, as I said, on the 20th of January at 6 p.m. at the Wheel of Wellbeing in Westwood, and you can get the information on my website, drsadiq.com, and just see if that's something that you can enjoy. I'm sure that you're all aware of the issue of happiness and how it is the product of feeling self-worth. A worthy sense of self is not really possible when we are in doubt about our decisions, when we procrastinate, when we believe that we deserve the negative outcomes that we have been experiencing, or if we feel unable to overcome our challenges. The lack of emotional worthiness after a while becomes impossible to tolerate, and eventually anxieties, sadnesses, and depression, or just different types of emotional imbalances will prevail. My approach to health and happiness has been creating a well-balanced lifestyle that considers the person as a whole. So when I come across the depressed moods like sadness, frustrations, anger, loneliness, hopelessness, helplessness, and so on, I deal with the impaired judgments that people usually have, like the relational problems, like the fears or the anxieties, the anxious reactions actually that they have. When I hear the somatic complaints that people make, like the pains that they feel in their stomach or the digestive upsets, they have backaches, headaches, knee pains, or other physiological challenges, or when I address the addictive symptoms, such as the dependencies, the withdrawals, the misuse or abuse of the body by using drugs or getting engaged in promiscuous sex or gambling, or especially when the excessive agitation does not allow a person to have a normal understanding and just allows it to escalate into dangerous situations. My focus is on that person's subjective worldview, and I try to understand what has caused all of these tendencies, this emotional outburst, and why this person is having such unreasonable sense of self. The low self-confidence that results from this and how it can be changed is the subject of our talk tonight, and I would like to talk a little bit about how it can be remedied and be regained. Building self-esteem and self-worth is really important. So let's start with just talking about what exactly self-esteem is. Well, self-esteem is a psychological term that explains the overall emotional evaluation of a person's worthiness or their values. It is how a person judges him or herself, and it is that person's attitude toward him or herself. Self-esteem is the sum of overall feelings that we carry with ourselves through the day. When we have deeper feelings of disappointment or disbeliefs, when we have held on to this belief for a long time, the emotional statements that we make are representations of the level of our self-esteem. For example, if we say that I'm successful, or I'm saying that I'm a loser, that represents a state of triumph or despair, a state of pride or disappointment, a state of joy or shame, and it shows how consciously I have a concept of myself and how I show the positive or negative evaluations of myself. Nathaniel Branden, who is one of the thought leaders who first talked about the subject of self-esteem, and he's also the author of the Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, has discussed and defined self-esteem as the experience of being competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and being worthy of happiness. Well, according to him, self-esteem is the sum of self-confidences that we have in different areas of our life, where we put the confidences that we have about ourselves that builds our self-confidence. Or he defines it as the feeling of personal capacity to feel self-respect and self-worth. So it is a ability, it's a capability, it's a space that we hold inside of ourselves. It is a judgment that every person has of their own ability in the face of challenges. It is when they understand that they can solve problems and they have the right to achieve happiness or have respect. Well, then the next question that I would bring up for myself is that then how the low self-esteem is presenting. What are the signs of that? In my practice, most of the time when I see people who are not feeling much self-worth or possess some much self-esteem, they show it in many different ways. Some people carry it from their genetic predispositions. Some are suffering from their physical appearances. Some are weights, heights, their styles of dressing up or showing up, the relationships that they have with family members or others, their socioeconomic status, the pressures that the peers put on them or their colleagues or their coworkers, the way that they deal with people in their lives who are the bullies or the victims, the experiences that they have gained in their abusive relationships. Sometimes the lack or low level of education creates that low self-esteem. And most importantly, the traumatic events that has happened in life are bringing us to a point of negative self-perception, and that shows up as a reason for low self-esteem. Well, we come across many people who show these symptoms, these signs. And if we pay attention, we see that they have similar characteristics. I'm going to run through some of these characteristics so you can see how you can generally understand when a person close to you or even you are presenting that low self-esteem. The very first one that I want to talk about is the heavy self-criticism and the general dissatisfaction that people have with things. For these people, nothing is ever good enough, and you cannot satisfy them. They are very judgmental about themselves, and it takes them a very long time to get satisfied with anything that they do or anything that they're gaining. The other group is those who are showing hypersensitivity to being criticized by showing resentment against the critical person, and they feel like they're being attacked. Well, this person is very sensitive usually, and the sensitivity that they have allows very small things to bother them and even a point is given to them that could be constructive for them, it could be taken as something hostile. Another group of people show indecision, they are procrastinating, and they exaggerate the fear of making mistakes. These people do not make choices that fast, and even when they make their choices, they're self-doubting the choices. Another group are those who are having excessive desires to please others and not showing the willingness to dissatisfy anyone. These group of people, they feel that even the people who are adverse to them, they need to be dealt in a very special way and be pleased. So the people pleasers are in this group, and that's another sign of low self-esteem. The next group of people are perfectionists, and they show how good they are, and that usually leads them to frustration, as the perfection that they show, it's not satisfactory to them. So no matter how perfect they do something, and other people, they may notice it for themselves, that is not still perfect and still lacking something. The next group of people are usually carrying guilt feelings with them. They're ashamed of their own behaviors or their habits or their presence, and they feel embarrassed in many different situations. They also exaggerate their own mistakes. Well, many of these group of people. A lot of people are going through life with guilt feelings, and those guilt feelings are a good sign of how low self-esteem a person is carrying. Anger and show of hostility and a general sense of defensiveness and irritability is another sign of low self-esteem. These people who get angry usually have a very clear justification, or they do it without any reason. It's just a way that they burst and they're explosive. And many times they're explosive, but at the same time they're very fragile. So when you say something to them, that sensitivity and fragility, that will become an explosion. Pessimism and a general negative outlook on any given situation is another group. Those are the people who see the cup half empty all the time. And again, there is a sense of despair and loss with them. Envy, resentment, discontent, and a general attitude of unhappiness is what some of the other people in this category of low self-esteem carry with themselves. As you might have seen people around you who are envious, you see that, nothing that they have is good enough because they always want something from somebody else, and they are comparing themselves with someone. So the comparison is another sign of low self-esteem. Acting small or too big in social settings. So if you are not carrying an appropriate sense of self-esteem, if you feel low, that is one way that you act as a small person. Or if you feel too high, which is still covering up a lack of self-esteem, and that's grandiose. Giving up when facing temporary setbacks, a situation as without any outcomes. When people are, giving up in face of any hardship and they don't have any solutions and they cannot tolerate the conditions that are given to them. So this makes one to show up as hopeless and helpless and lonely. It is very interesting that when people are giving feedback, individuals with low self-esteem often take it very personally, and they can become argumentative or devastated by it. Those who carry a low self-esteem are very critical of themselves and depend on the approval of others for their own evaluation of self-worthiness. In other words, their sense of value or self-worth is usually measured by how they feel as others valuing them. These people believe that a person's approval of them is dependent on their performance, whether it's academic, it's in relationship, or even in a romantic situation. People with low self-esteem view their likability in terms of their successes, and they only see themselves as good if others accept them. And if they do not succeed, they are a failure. Well, I guess now we need to talk about the results of having low self-esteem. What happens when we show up in life with low self-esteem? Well, as Nathaniel Branden has argued, self-esteem is a human psychological need. And as long as this need remains unmet, pathologies develop. We see antisocial attitudes, defensiveness, anxiety, depression, difficult relationships, fears, phobias, nervous breakdowns happen as a result of having low self-esteem. The sense of inability to respond in an appropriate manner in different situations can easily lower and diminish our sense of happiness, and for sure it adds to the uncertainties or the frustrations that we have. The basic challenges of life and our internal insecurities generally take away from that sense of worthiness, happiness, and despite having good role models and people that we can look up to, we are not able to have their sense of value and support inside of ourselves. To deal with these negative sense of low self-esteem or sense of self, it's a big challenge. So the question that I'm going to propose to myself is that then how can we feel such low kind of sense of self can grow into self-confidence instead? If you come to my class, of course, you're going to learn a lot about it. As I said, the four-week workshop that is going to start on January 20th, it's starting with unlearning the negative beliefs that we have, the judgments that we have been holding against ourselves, and how we have allowed them to become shackles on our ankles, and we just carry them with us. Well, we got to allow the new practices or the ways of being to take the place of these old weights that we carry with us. In other words, learning new coping skills for dealing with our everyday problems and feeling able to withhold under pressure in the face of challenges. That will bring us a feeling of empowerment, and we let go of those self-judgments. It will reduce our anxiety. It will promote better relationships. And generally, it will create a sense of security that is a requirement for building self-esteem. Growth, successful growth, is the product of an appropriate sense of self-esteem. There are many concepts in regards with self-esteem, but the growth of self-confidence and building self-esteem has been really nicely explained by Brandon in the Six Pillars of Esteem, as he lays a great foundation for the practice of feeling self-worth and gaining self-confidence. Those six pillars are, first is living consciously. That is the practice of being aware of what we do while we are doing what we do. In other words, is the practice of how mindful we are while we're doing something, how free and present we are while we're doing something, how aware we are when we are doing something. So that consciousness and being in touch with what's in front of us is the first pillar of self-esteem. Without that, we're not clear, we're confused, and we'll be missing something. We're always looking for something without that consciousness. The second pillar of self-esteem is show of acceptance. And that is coming along by trusting oneself, trusting that we can practice and own what we learn. We can practice and own what we think, our emotions, our behavior. It's the kind of word that we use, is the attitude that we have toward ourselves with respect and with a basic sense of value. And that only comes when we can show acceptance for what it is. We cannot just be dissatisfied and unhappy with the way that we are. So that requires a sense of trust. The third pillar is responsibility, being responsible. And I love that word. Responsibility is the ability to respond. And that ability to respond happens by practice of owning one's own action and the capacity to cause action and how we are affecting situations to achieve our desirable outcome. So in responsibility, it's how appropriate we are responding, how able we are to consider all of the facts, all of the side stories of a situation and utilize them in making decisions, making choices, and going forward. The fourth pillar of self-esteem is assertiveness. And assertiveness is so important because it's a practice of treating one's needs and interests in full respect and by expressing them in an appropriate way, being grounded, feel able to stay solid in face of adversities, and be like a tree, be rooted, be tall, be proud. Give shade, give fruit. Assertiveness is a component of being comfortable in a position as we are standing and we are giving service to others, we're serving, and we're benefiting others while we are not under any pressure and we do this joyfully. The fifth one is purposefulness. When we live purpose with a purpose, that practice formulates our goals and formulates how our actions are planned and how we can achieve them. A sense of purpose comes with clarity, and if we're not clear, then our purpose is lost. The uncertainties, insecurities are what get in the way of our purposes, and we need to have clear intentions to live purposefully. So setting our intentions, knowing exactly why we are doing something, that will give us self-esteem and self-confidence. And the last pillar of self-esteem is integrity. It's our personal integrity. And that is the practice of maintaining an alignment between our behavior and the convictions that we have. It's how we understand the underlying feelings that we have and how we form the ability to use our mind, our rational mind, in the service of addressing the difficulties that are on our way. So in other words, it's how we feel about situations, about ourselves, about others, and how we utilize our mind in connection with those feelings, how they become one and they show an integral way of carrying our ways. So these six pillars of self-esteem are the foundation of building self-esteem. And in order to improve and maintain self-esteem, we need to pay attention to the healthy relationships that we build with ourselves and with others. Because feeling empowered allows us to let go of self-judgment and let go of our anxious feelings and, again, build better relationships and bring a sense of security. That's a requirement for building self-esteem, and it's vital for our growth. Now I want to talk about different ways that we can build some self-esteem. I have listed a few ways that self-esteem can be generated, and I hope that you can practice some of these. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to call me, to contact me, to email me. My email address is danielsadiq@yahoo.com. You can contact me on Facebook at Dr. Daniel Sadiq. And you can also go on my website, drsadiq.com, and get the information that you require to have, because I place most of these information and the programs on my blogs there. Well, to build self-esteem, one of the very first thing that we need to pay attention to is to relate with others. We got to get out of our safe places, out of our houses, and set up seeing friends, dealing with people around us, socializing with others, and give ourselves an opportunity to connect with other people. Because in the practice of communication and having interpersonal skills, we can realize in what areas we can practice more, or we can pay more attention and learn more about what's needed to be done. It is in socializing that we get familiar with the norms of our environment and what's going on around us. So the first practice that I want you to get into is to relating with others and communicating and being present in different social settings. I know for some of you it may be difficult and challenging, but that takes me to the second tip that I have for you. And that is to start it in a small way. So you don't have to jump and do a big function or socialize in a big way. So you start with something that you can do immediately and easily. You do something little. You make a date with one friend. You go for a coffee. You go for a lunch. You don't start with a big party. So in that way, you can build momentum to gain more confidence in your ability to do whatever that is that you're practicing. Each completed task that you have, regardless of how small they are, becomes a building block for building more confidence. The small actions that you take will be shown to you as your capabilities of achieving the goals that you have set for yourself. For example, if you want to start something small, you can start with cleaning your closet, organizing your desk, or just, you know, starting to pay bills online. So something that you start once you have not done it in a long time, and you do that at the beginning. Another tip that I have for you is creating a vision for yourself. What do you want to achieve? Use your imagination. Create an image of yourself that shows you as a confident person, that shows you as an assertive person, that shows you self-assured and aspires you to become one. When you imagine yourself as that person, notice what you feel. Notice how you walk differently. Notice how you perceive others. Notice how others perceive you. What does your body language is telling you and others? How are you talking in that manner? And that takes practice also. So if you can assign a 10-minute a day portion for this, that would be perfect. So you can play some music in the background, be relaxed, and just exercise for 10 minutes. Be somebody that you want to be. Be that confident person that you desire to be. And practice it. See how it feels to be that person. By practicing that, you start gaining a sense of that ability and will lead you on. My next tip is setting achievable goals. If we do not have goals, then we cannot really build on anything. The goals are the final results that we can achieve. So by setting goals that are clear and actionable, we have created a target, and that's where we want to be. When you take action towards that goal, then you're building more confidence and self-esteem because you show ability to reach that goal. Again, if in the beginning those goals are small, you are gaining more out of it than setting big goals that are not as easy to reach. So the key word in this tip is being achievable. You set goals that you know that it's just a matter of time and you can do it. My next tip is doing something that you are good at. So it's actually knowing what you're good at and practicing it even further. Imagine that you are a good painter. You can paint on canvas, and that's one of your best abilities, and then be that. Then just start painting. Start painting something that you enjoy, and feel the power that you have when you're doing that. And notice how when you enjoy something, that brings you more strength, more ability, and then start practicing that in other ways that you are not that great and you are relatively okay. And you see how that starts to be different and you feel highly productive and your confidence gets boosted. The efficiency that you use by your knowledge, by your knowing of what you're good at, is what allows you to know that you own something, that you possess something of value, and that will bring more awareness to your other values, and you can start growing from that. The next tip is teaching. Yes, by teaching, we build self-confidence. We build self-esteem. Because it feels good when you can help somebody to learn something. You feel good about what you achieve. When you help another person to be better at what they have not been able to do before, that makes you feel empowered also, because you have brought some new ability to someone. See what you can do that makes others feel good and makes them happy and do more of that. What you're doing good and makes others happy with what you do is something that you need to practice even more, experience it more. For example, if you give a compliment, if you help someone, and that is feeling good for you, that's what you want to do more of. I cannot talk enough about clarity, and that's another tip that we mentioned somehow before, but I want to bring it to you as a principle practice. Having clarity on different areas of life needs attention. So you need to pay attention to what the details of situations are. And you can do that by writing down all the major areas of concern in your life. How are your finances? How are your relationships? How's your health? How's your romance? So when you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, each area of concern, then you can start with the lowest number that you have and you start building on that one. Be more efficient on that. And once you do better on one, then move to the other one. So by being clear about the areas of your life that need attention and you're acting upon it, you are creating a better sense of yourself and you are growing in self-confidence. Having a plan is another important aspect of practicing self-confidence. You got to know where you are at any given time, just like a navigation system that is telling you exactly where you are at every given moment. But remember that these plans need to be clear as well, and your action has to be clear. So to have a plan is a big responsibility. Some people are lazy, unfortunately, and they do not really sit down to plan something. They just let things go by, happen as they are, and that creates low self-esteem. So when you plan things and you are moving towards achieving the steps of that plan and getting closer to your goals, that is how you are building self-esteem. Another tip that I want to give you tonight is inspiration. Be inspired. Always look for something that empowers you. Listen to something that brings you joy. Talk to someone that uplifts you. Read something that is inspiring you. Notice who's there around you that can motivate you. Look for role models. The consciousness that we're talking about is very helpful in your inspirations. Because when you are taking steps towards creating a better life for yourself and your families, you need some sense of support and understanding. So that is your inspiration. Compliments are something that we all sometimes hear, sometimes we're taking it, are given to us, or we give to others. But accepting compliments is another tip that I want to give you. Many of us are not good at accepting compliments. So if we learn that taking compliment is an additional value for us, it shows our strength. It shows us what we're good at. It shows us what we're loving to do. So by accepting those compliments, you will feel a sense of self-efficacy and support for yourself. Because now you know there are other people who are noticing something in you that is of value. My other tip for you is having self-conversation. What does that mean? Well, you know, we need to have a dialogue inside, a dialogue of affirmation, a dialogue that talks between our abilities and our results. If we are not getting what we desire, what's going on? What is that we're missing? So we need to be aware of that. And if we are doing a good job, we need to affirm that. We need to show to ourselves that we appreciate ourselves. So appreciation also falls into this conversation. If we have a language of appreciation for ourselves and others, that will open up the door to feeling our best. Comparisons are a problem as well. So if you want to practice having a higher sense of self-confidence, I want you to pay attention to the comparisons that you've been making in the past. No more. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Because low self-esteem stems from the feelings of being inferior. If you are the only person in the world that thinks that you cannot do something because you see other people are more successful, that is how you're losing your self-esteem and self-confidence. Do not worry about what other people are doing, because that only confuses you. Just pay attention to what you're doing, what you can do, and accept the ways that you do things as your way, and be okay with how they are. If you're okay with how they are, then you're not comparing yourself with anybody else. I think I've given you enough information on this subject, and I hope to hear from you if you have any questions on this. Once again, the Build Steam class starts on January 20th, 2013 at 6 o'clock. It's a Sunday at the Wheel of Wellbeing, 1575 Westwood Boulevard. If you like to register, go on my site, drsadiq.com, and you can register there. If you have any questions, if you are far from Los Angeles and you cannot attend to these seminars, I'll be glad to be in touch with you. Go ahead and email me at danielsadiq@yahoo.com or contact me on Facebook, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and let me know if you're interested to have this class online. I'm looking forward to start an online workshop in the months to come, and if I have enough interest, I will definitely do so. And we will have that 4-week workshop online as well. My telephone number is 323-997-9001. And I look forward to being in touch with you. Have a wonderful evening or anytime that you listen to the archives. And make sure that you live a life filled with steam.